Last week, I wrote about the need each of us has from time to time to clear the air, to get something off our chest that is creating stress for us and likely diminishing trust, enthusiasm, and collaboration for work with a key colleague or friend or family member. In that first blog, I recommended two essential preparatory steps. One, value yourself enough to raise an issue, and two, realize it is your issue, at least until you find a way to share it. Onward to a formula and its deep rationale. There is a rather secret formula. I learned it from my wonderful mentor, M.A. Hastings. It's so easy to explain and remember, yet so challenging to do well, because of the way it runs against a deep grain in the wood of our nature. So for today, I will introduce it and then explain the heavy work required to execute it against that human grain, that powerful tendency, both in ourselves and in the recipient of our feedback. The simple formulation, I feel or I felt when you, because, or IFWB for short. A simple example perhaps can help. I explained this formulation, then begged my 70 undergrads for an instance when I had triggered someone in class. A student courageously came to the front of class and addressed me. I felt disappointed when you didn't show up for lunch because I had moved things around in my day to meet you and because I was really looking forward to getting to know you. Exquisite job. Look at why and how often we don't follow this formula. Harkening back to last week's steps, first, he valued his feelings and his experience enough to share them with me. I'm sure I'd offended others, hopefully inadvertently, but he had the courage to step up. Second, last week I suggested, it's your issue, and so he owned it. He didn't start by saying, you stood me up, or you were inconsiderate. He started with I. Second, he expressed a feeling. He didn't say, I think it was inconsiderate of you, or teachers act like their time matters more than ours. He shared his feeling, disappointed. Third, he was specific about the behavior. I didn't show up. He didn't characterize, you say you really care about students, but your behavior doesn't show it. He didn't lump me in with others. It's amazing how professors grade class participation, but they can blow off a meeting with students. He didn't even say, it hurt that you blew me off. Fourth, his because statement had a perfect hook. He was disappointed, he said, because he was looking forward to getting to know me. I call it a hook because there was something for me in it. There was an implication of a desire for a good ongoing relationship. This may not seem like a magic formula, but here's why it is. At a deep instinctive feeling level, each of us wants to be protected, safe in my skin, and also wants to be in relationship. So when person A feels hurt or afraid and says so to person B, the latter is almost always going to feel that person A is attacking them. Now, both feel hurt, and the conversation can so easily spiral downward. Take the most simple example, repeated thousands of times a day. He's driving and changes lanes quickly. She feels frightened. It's the most basic, understandable instinct feeling in animal life. The self-protection impulse is triggered. She says, "Why are you driving crazy?" He feels attacked, because his most basic instinct is to protect, and she's saying, you're not a protector. At least that's what he hears. So he says, I'm fine. In fact, I'm a great driver. You're the one with the problem. Chill out. Well, peel away the self-justifications and rationalizations, and you'll find this loop of insecurity and resulting defensiveness at the bottom of almost all interpersonal conflict. The magic of the formula is you build in three keys to a safe and positive conversation. Number one, you know you need help and you own this. This takes courage and practice and practice. It is so much easier to say, I would be fine if it weren't for you, you bad driver, or you bad passenger, you are to blame. It's harder to say, I'm good, but I'm a little hurt, scared, confused, and I'd like to see if you can help me out. Second, you try to talk about behaviors, not the other person's character, not characterization of them. It's so tempting to say, why are you men so crazy behind the wheel? Or, you make us late, then you drive like a madman. These characterizations, rather than statements of specific behavior, are so easily taken in as attacks, prompting counterattacks. And finally, the third reason. The hook at the end clearly implies that you matter to me, that there is a we here that matters. So the student says, I look forward to getting to know you. Or in the infamous example, I feel nervous when you change lanes quickly because I know you care about our safety and I know you don't want me to feel unsafe. Drivers are insecure. Their inner critic tells them they take crazy risks sometimes. Passengers are insecure. They have no hands on the wheel and no feet on the pedals. Students are insecure. They know the teacher can grade them down. Even professors and bosses are insecure. They worry that you're talking behind their backs to their bosses, etc. We are wired to want security, so we're easily triggered. And when we complain or accuse or give feedback, we can trigger insecurity so easily in the other. Clearing the air requires some wisdom, some magic, and a whole lot of patience. Next week, even magic formula feedback doesn't always do the trick. So more jujitsu then to lead with your best self.